Let me tell you, we're looking now at the Hour One Nuggets, and we're looking at 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 2, and it says this. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And I made it a decision that I would do a 6-part series on this. Going from spiritual milk to pure, full maturity, as it were, is taking some steps, and I thought I wanted to look at those steps. And the steps are, number one, repentance of acts that lead to death. Two, faith in God. We did that on Friday. Three, instructions about baptism. Four, the laying on of hands. Five, the resurrection from the dead. And six, eternal judgment. So I thought I'd go through these a step at a time. And we're starting today with point three, which is instructions in baptisms. If you would, I'd love you to turn with me to Matthew and the third chapter, and we're going to go from verse 16. No, we're not. We're going to go from verse 13. It says this. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done. For we must carry out what God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, Jesus came out of the water. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settled on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy. What we're looking at there, beloved, is water baptism. Now, many churches believe different things. I was talking about this the other day. I was talking about doctrine. Different types of churches believe this, different types of churches believe that. For instance, the C of E, the Church of England, for the most part, believes that you should be baptized when you're a little child. I don't see how that's possible, but that's what they believe. They believe that you should be baptized as a little child, and then as you get to about 12 or 13, you should confirm that baptism. That is what they do. That's their decision. The Baptist Church fully immerse you in water when you are baptized, and usually at maturish age. I was baptized personally at 15. That was just me. Other people have been baptized when they're 40. Other people have been baptized when they're 18. It doesn't really matter. But in the Baptist church where I was at the time, we believed in fully immersing you into the water. Now, I have had the privilege of being to the Jordan River in Israel and actually baptizing people in the Jordan River itself. There's now a huge center there where you can do that, and it is quite wonderful. The point I'm trying to make here is baptism is a requirement of God. It's not something that we choose to do because we feel like it or we want to. Many people have been baptized and they often say, well, actually, I didn't really feel it at the time because I guess I was too young, so I want to get baptized again. No, 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 no. That is what I say to that. Do not get baptized twice in water. It's not right. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. You have been baptized in water. If you have, then that is fair enough. And I know that God knows that and recognizes it. But we are required to be baptized because that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Now note his age. He was 30. He wasn't 12. He wasn't 3. He was 30, 30 years old. And John the Baptist baptized him. That is baptism, beloved, of water. As I said, we're looking at instructions on baptisms. So this is my question to you on baptism of water. If you have not been baptized in water, then I believe that is your next step. That is what you should do. I believe that you should go to the pastor of your church. If you're at a church, if you're not, you need to find one. And go to your pastor and say, I need to be baptized in water. It's really important to me. I want to move on now to the other baptism and to look at that. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, and we're going to go to the second chapter, and we're going to go from verse 1, and it says this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Just remember this, Jesus is now died. He has gone to the cross at Calvary. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, I love it when Reinhard Bonnke does this because he puts his hand on his head. And if this was television, you'd be able to see. Soon it will be. We'll be live streaming into your home with this particular program. And he used to wave his hand about on the top of his head. Tongues of fire. We call this, beloved, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, I believe it's absolutely vital as well as the baptism with water. I believe this is absolutely vital. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what's been going on in your life. I know this. My father preached the Word of God. He preached the gospel for 30 years as an itinerant minister, and he did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not until his life completely changed in 1967, 1968. His life totally changed, and it changed when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and realized that that which he had been preaching all of those years was actually not true. So what I'm trying to say to you here is it is vital, beloved. It is absolutely vital. And I'm not getting religious here, because you know me. I am the most irreligious person that you probably know. I am not religious in any way, shape or form. But I do want, as 1 Peter says, I do want that salvation experience to continue. I don't want it to end. That full salvation experience, as 1 Peter says. And I want that. And so therefore, I will do anything that I need to do according to Scripture. And Scripture is talking about the water baptism. It is also now in Acts 2 talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and therefore that is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you continue to read through Acts, and you read Acts 2, then 3, and then Acts 4, you're going to see that that rugged fisherman, Peter, who was not educated at all of a sudden has this incredible wisdom coming out of his mouth as he goes before the Council of Jerusalem. They were going to arrest him. And he stood there and spoke eloquently. And they must have thought, oh no, there's another one. There's another one. We just got rid of Jesus. And here's another one now. Oh gosh. That's the point. He was only able to do that because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I believe today for you, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe that is absolutely vital today. And if that's what you want this full experience of Almighty God, then I want you to pray with me now. I just want you to say these words. Heavenly Father, I come before you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And as happened in Acts and the second chapter, I pray now in Jesus' name that you baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me full, Lord, of your Spirit now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. Just let the Holy Spirit sweep over you right now. She's for Andrew, who requested this song. But it's for you too, as you allow the Holy Spirit to sweep over your life and baptize you.